Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Good afternoon and welcome to Engage for Success Radio Show number 212, the relationship between IC and employee engagement. So today we're going to be talking about my guest's view of how the overly close relationship between IC and employee engagement doesn't serve either of them, and it's interesting that we've had a couple of other shows in the last 3 weeks all focused on IC internal communications as well. So we're having a little series here, so looking forward to the discussion. I'm Jo Dodds, your host for today. I'm a social engagement consultant working with the Engage for Success movement, leading on the digital. The Engage for Success movement is an inclusive movement committed to the idea that there is a better way to work by releasing more of the capability and potential of people at work. We spread the word about employee engagement and shine a light on good practice, and we're widely supported across the UK, involving the public, private and third sectors. So if you go to our website, engageforsuccess.org, you can use the link at the top of the page to join our newsletter list. We usually email out on a Friday or Saturday. If you tweet, please share your thoughts. Our Twitter handle is Engage for Success with the number 4, because we couldn't fit the F-O-R in there. And you can also go to you can also go to our LinkedIn group. If you just search for Engage for Success on LinkedIn, you can join that and join in the discussions there. All the social media links are on the homepage of the website, so please do go there if you want to find a route to get in contact with us. So my guest today is Mike Klein of Changing the Terms. Hi, Mike. Thanks for joining me.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
And you're not in the UK, are you?
No, I am based in the Netherlands in a town called Delft, which is roughly between The Hague and Rotterdam.
Lovely. And one of our international contingent, and you sound even more international than that introduction.
Well, I'm a Chicago area product, if you will, but I came over to the UK in 1996 to get my MBA at London Business School, stayed on as an internal comms consultant for about 5 years, returned to the States for a number of years, and then came back to Europe about 10 years ago. And I've been working in internal comms both as an in-house and as a consultant for some big names like Shell, Maersk, company called Vimblecom, which is one of the largest mobile operators in the world, and have also done a bit of work with Avery Dennison. Currently have my own firm, which is called Changing the Terms, and that's also the name of my blog, which addresses internal communications and particularly internal comm strategy. And it's interesting that you invited me to participate, because the relationship between internal communication and employee engagement has been a close one ever since employee engagement came on the scene around 2000. And it's something that I've always been skeptical of, not because the idea of a better way to work was something that I was skeptical of, but that there were a number of things in the relationship between internal communication and employee engagement that weren't really working well for either side of the equation. And it took me a long time to figure out how to articulate that, but I think I've been able to do so over the last year or so. And that's definitely what I'm interested in talking with you about today.
Lovely. So tell us a bit more about where you see that relationship. So why you think it's too close? How it's working where you think perhaps it shouldn't have got to.
Absolutely know what you mean. I think the fundamental issue, the reason why internal communication and employee engagement have gotten to a point where they're not really mutually beneficial, they're not really good for each other, is that employee engagement actually is a number of things at the same time. Two particular things that have a deep conflict with each other, but at the same time are spoken of interchangeably and at the same time. And that is, you have people who use the term employee engagement are talking about people expressing and demonstrating positive emotions, positive behaviors about their employers and about their work, that they're, you know, that they're either giving quote unquote discretionary effort or disposed to give discretionary effort. So that's one conversation about employee engagement that's taking place at the same time as a second conversation, which is about generating an ongoing upward trend in employee engagement survey results. And what that has forced internal communications to do is that internal communications has been tasked with helping to drive 100% participation in employee engagement surveys, and ideally 100% or 10 or whatever the top score is on the survey itself. So what you're doing is internal communication, which up until now or up until employee engagement came on the scene, was a strategic function dedicated to getting specific employees to do specific things, has been commandeered to try to drive all employee awareness and drive all employee participation at a, you know, with a common single opinion. And that's effectively destroyed the strategic element of internal communication in all but a few organizations which are still willing either to have a strategic internal comms team or which have allowed their change their change programs to hire in separate communication resource to pursue strategic communication goals independent of their internal comms teams.
So can you just give us an example where you talk about strategic internal communications about being about getting specific people to do specific things? Well, can you sort of paint a picture of what that would look like or has looked like
There are a couple different dimensions of it. If you've got like a big IT implementation, for instance, not everybody is going to use the system equally. So you don't have to give everybody the same stream of information. You only need to give the most detailed and richest information to the people who will have the most impact either on the system itself or on other people who use the system. And that, you know, a much more general approach can be applied to a broader population, if at all. If you're trying to do something within a business, and this is the work that I do with influencers, 3% of people drive 90% of conversations. So yeah. With the current model, you're spending your energy communicating with 90 or 100% of people. And that means you have to, you know, take things down to the lowest common denominator, use a lot of visuals, make it really fun and engaging. But in fact, you could get a lot more done by focusing on the 3% of the people who actually drive the conversations and can put things into context for people. Mm-hmm. So that's the second flavor of it. The third flavor of it is, you know, really looking at, okay, what do people actually need to do? And then focusing on giving people the information they need to be able to do whatever it is that they need to do, as opposed to just making yep. everybody aware for the sake of making everybody aware.
Yeah.
Does it make sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you say, I guess even without thinking about engagement surveys in particular, you can see organizations straight away falling into the trap of having one message for the whole organization, and that's all they do, rather than, as you say, picking specific projects and specific parts of projects to appeal to specific sections of the employee community.
And that becomes problematic when you're a big organization that's got a big agenda, and your ability to use internal communication is limited to the agenda of just one stakeholder, who is whoever owns internal comms, whether it's, you know, in most cases it's HR, some cases it's marketing. Very rarely is it a CFO, although I've had really good success working with CFOs because they get the diverse nature of what it takes to run a successful business.
Mm.
You know, the ability to apply specific effort on a specific task at specific times. And also not to overburden the whole business with having to understand the entire agenda in detail.
Mm. So what do you think is driving this? Is it that engagement is the big thing? Is it because people aren't properly skilled? Is it because people are lazy? What's driving that shift in how internal communications is being applied?
The shift towards having high performance on the employee engagement survey be almighty. Is that what you're after? Because there's a specific issue there, which is that internal comms made a deal implicitly when employee engagement came out on the scene back in 2000. Because employee engagement came with, you know, institutionalized executive level sponsorship and a belief that the correlation between high engagement scores and high performance was definitively supported by internal communications effort to drive employee engagement. The fact is that there's no evidence that that's actually the case. I mean, you can make just as strong of a case that high engagement comes in companies that are high performing just as easily as high performance comes in companies that are highly engaged. And I don't know of anybody who's got definitive proof that that's, you know, uniquely one way or the other. So that's the issue. That the downside is that by driving employee engagement surveys, which were the proof of this relationship, that they undercut their own strategic ability to operate. I don't think this is a big conspiracy, not at all. I think it's a very well, you know, it was very well intentioned of all involved to say, you know, we've got a way to make things better and we've got a way to demonstrate it and you've got the tools and the resources with which to do that. Now go do it. No one really questioned it. Today, at the current state of internal comms, where those people who say that there's never been a better time to be internal communicator are people who are recruiting largely event planners and graphic artists to staff the internal comms function. To realize that the real magic and skill of the internal comms function has largely been bled out of it, which is the ability to go into an organization, understand how it works, and then adjust the levers such that C-level people and other leaders can get amazing changes to take place quickly with relatively little effort. And we can't really do that right now. We've got communicators sending toolkits to change managers and organizations, telling them to run their communications themselves because they're focused on employee engagement.
Yeah, so is that then, so people new into internal comms, are they coming in expecting to be doing that and not learning the other stuff, or is it just that the companies are expecting them to do, as you say, some of the more, designing posters and, you know, communications and colourful things and that sort of thing. That's what they're expecting of them. So that's just what they end up doing. And they're not sort of taking a step back and saying, actually, that's not how we were trained. That's not what we're here for.
Well, internal communications is increasingly an all-employee function. You may have heard about Shellholz's model of quote-unquote employee communication. It's really a model of all employee communication. And the challenge with all employee communication is that it leaves not much room for targeted communication. But targeted communication may, in fact, add a hell of a lot more value. in terms of specific interventions, especially in companies that have very specific challenges that require alignment and understanding and velocity, than just simply throwing everything up on videos and posters.
Yeah. So what do you think needs to happen to put it back where it needs to be?
Well, I think the first thing is what we're doing today, which is having an open conversation about where we're at as a profession and as a discipline, both in terms of employee engagement and in terms of internal communication. Like I said, the collapse between survey performance and organizational performance does not do employee engagement much good, just as it does not do internal communication much good. I mean, you have wonderful people in the employee engagement world, people like David Zinger, people like Kevin Rock, people who genuinely care about making the workplace a more humane as well as a more responsive environment. And that by making the workplace more humane, you make it more responsive. And that directly contradicts the desire of having an ever-increasing trend on employee engagement surveys, because you have no ability to adjust certain parts of the organization, making them better, and then allowing the rest of the organization to improve as a result of that, if you always have to create a linear improvement. You know, again, the strategy of employee engagement is undermined just as easily as the strategy of internal comms is undermined.
So do you think that organizations should always have separate teams, people, depending on the size of the organization, working in employee engagement and working in internal communications? Or is there a way to move forwards being responsible for both, as perhaps the HR director may be, without sort of muddying the waters?
I have a number of thoughts on that. I mean, my perfect world in this area is that you don't have an internal communication department. You have internal communicators working with the engagement team, with the change team, with the finance team, and they're connected by, you know, whether formally or tribally, and that they communicate with each other as a matter of course. And you've got tools like Slack and others that will allow the internal communicators to communicate together while at the same time belonging to their functions. Because I think employee engagement teams need great internal communicators, but they don't need to own the internal communications of a company.
Yeah.
I think change teams need great internal communicators, but those internal communicators need to talk to the internal communicators in employee engagement.
Yeah.
And I think stakeholder closeness is a virtue that we've allowed to disappear as well. There's nothing better for an internal communicator than to have a stakeholder who's totally committed and really wants to use you well. And that isn't always the natural owner of a full-blown department.
So you're sort of talking about people working across the organization and specializing in the internal comms as a profession, or having
as a skill set,
great
as
communication skills and facilitating it because that's what they're good at.
No, I think people who are trained to be internal communicators who can, you know, create their own channels, can tap into the channels that already exist, that, you know, can make words resonate and, you know, for that matter, images inspire and all of that stuff. I mean, you need, and, you know, probably if you were creating the ideal setup, you might want to have an internal comms service desk that, you know, runs the intranet and, you know, has the stock photo library and, you know, can do the basic level production, the video production, mm-hmm. so that, you know, so that you could, you know, so that the ability to do stuff isn't an issue, but that the communicators are serving the major stakeholders in the business most closely.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally creating appetite among the other stakeholders for that kind of service.
And then what about the engagement survey? Does that fit in there at all? Or are we saying we don't even need to do them? We've said that on one of our other radio shows.
I think surveying anything needs to be a function of what your objective is. I mean, the idea of a benchmarked employee engagement survey, which has been placed at nearly almighty levels, particularly the infamous Q12, I can't see any legitimate purpose other than to whose performance doesn't fall, you know, who doesn't match up to the desired trend and the benchmark. You know, it's a punitive tool. It's not a progressive tool or a constructive tool. We're surveying employee engagement as opposed to employee engagement surveys. Where surveying employee engagement could be extremely valuable is finding out what drives people organizationally. I mean, do you have people whose main motivation in working for company X is to finish their career 20 years later with company X, or whether it's to get a paycheck so that they can buy the boat that they're going to use to go fishing with, or whether it's to stick around until they can get even with the people that have screwed them earlier in their career. These are all forms of engagement that drive people, and certainly the current mode of measuring quote-unquote employee engagement doesn't come anywhere near that. In fact, it tries to homogenize it into a single thing so that it can be benchmarked. Surveying people's motivations, surveying the language that people use to describe organizational initiatives. I mean, this is a completely underrated area of measurement. But if you're running a business optimization initiative, knowing whether people in the business are calling it the business optimization initiative or that damn cost-cutting program, if you could have hard numbers on that, that's a much more interesting finding than I have a best friend at work.
Yeah. It's interesting. I read a book recently, and I can never remember what it's called, but it talks about lead and lag measures. So, i.e. employee engagement surveys are lag measures. You can't do anything about it. It's just telling you what's happened sort of thing. And it talks about very much if you can determine what actually makes that change as the lead measure. So what do you need to do more of, and measure whether you're doing more of that, knowing that it will lead to whatever. And it does strike me that we don't focus on that in our engagement stuff. We measure after the event and not during. And your example about the program name and how it's referred to within an organization is the front bit of it, isn't it? It's not the end result. It's sort of whilst you're going through the process.
Well, when you do research, tracking is everything. Frequency of tracking is very useful because trends will tell you a lot more than the actual data will.
Yeah.
And, you know, 3 months into a change program to see whether the use of specific language is either increasing or decreasing.
Yeah.
That will tell you very clearly what the attitudes are like. And it's unprompted as well. Because the other thing about a lot of employee engagement survey stuff is that it's prompted. And there's a huge amount of pressure, especially from middle managers, to get a good result and an increase. I mean, in one company that I work with, managers who didn't increase their employment aid, their employee engagement score, were fired because of their employee engagement score.
Wow.
And this is not a small company. It's a very mainstream company, and they're part of the world.
Mm. quite scary. So we're just coming into the last two or three minutes of the show. What sort of closing remarks have you got? What sort of final thoughts for people to take away?
I think my final thoughts, I really appreciate this conversation. I hope it's only the beginning of what needs to be a fundamental conversation between the engagement fraternity and the engagement community, excuse me, and the internal comms community. Because they're not the same, and the extent to which they can both assert their independence, I think, is really the extent to which they can have a much more productive future together, is that people need to see two things. One is that questioning the legitimacy and the advisability of pushing for universally high employee engagement scores is not anti-engagement. It's not anti-hierarchical. It's just pointing out that we're doing something that isn't working and that is actually wasting a lot of time and energy and effort. The second thing is the employee engagement community needs to be a lot more proactive and a lot more creative about measurement, about tracking the value addition of their initiatives. Because engagement is a positive thing and people who are positive minded tend to flock to engagement, the field to choke a little bit on its own sense of virtue. And I think there needs to be a bit more intellectual honesty in order to promote the genuine good that employee engagement does.
Yeah.
And then finally, from an internal comms perspective, we need to relearn strategy as a tribe. We need to reassert ourselves as strategic players within the organizations in which we work. And the reason for that is existential, because at some point somebody is going to figure out that the impact that we've been having on employee engagement scores may not have produced all that much actual real world benefit. And then we're going to have very little to say for what we've done over the last 20 years. So we need very quickly to reassert the strategic value of internal communication independent of the contribution we can make to employee engagement.
Yeah. There we go. Some great advice. Won't be very quick or easy.
Exactly.
And as you say, it's great to have that sort of conversation and start to sort of explore where things are and start to think about what, you know, how things are then moved forwards, you know, taking people with you and making sure people are, you know, trained and focused on the right sorts of things.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Lovely. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Mike. Maybe we'll have to get you back in a year or two and see how things are progressing.
That would be wonderful. And I really, really appreciate the invitation today and the willingness to engage and really kick off this conversation in the Engage for Success community. It's
lovely. Thank you.
It's an honor and privilege to be here.
Excellent. So, great to have you here. And next week, just to let listeners know, I'll be back talking with Katie Downs of Network Rail, and we're going to be talking about their You Said We Did campaign. So that will be a bit of a case study, some sort of information about what they've been doing on their employee voice. So looking forward to that next week. Thanks for joining us, and I'll catch you then.
Engage for Success Radio. Raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.